Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your ROH post show. I'm so excited to be here with Reg. Oh, there we are. We just went live. Sorry, I got a little laggy there. Hello, how are you? We're redoing the intro on air this time. How about that, Reg?
We right here, right into it. Straight up. Hello. Hello, everybody. It's ROH post show with Reg and Kate. We are
there out. See, you don't even need a host anymore. You're taking it away.
That's it. Easy as that.
I love it. I was just so anxious to talk about Ring of Honor. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. What a shocking ending we got, too. I'm still kind of like, whoa. Unexpected stuff's going on here. Wow.
I know. I figured when they were closing with the pure title instead of the world title, something cool must have been going on, but I didn't think it was going to be that. That's pretty rad. But before we dive into anything, I'm going to ask you, wonderful people watching at home, to get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. This is your ROH post show for episode 3 of our rebooted ROH for March 16th. Mm. I'm so excited to talk about it. And Reg, off the bat, I got to say, these 2 hours fly by.
So far.
I was like, the past 2 weeks, I felt like ROH was my favorite show. And then yesterday, we got just the most incredible episode of Dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think it's gonna beat it out. But when you get Willie Mack twerking in the ring, like in the first 15 minutes of the show.
I mean, if there's any way to kick it off and try to have a competition to that Dynamite last night, it's Willie Mack twerking in the ring with Claudio on his way. Yeah, it's the only way.
I think so, too. But we got a whole lot more than that. Whew, I love that we get through 10 matches in 2 hours. Things move quick here. Absolutely adore.
Were there 10 matches?
There were 10 matches again.
That's crazy. Like, I can't, my brain is like, no, there were not 10 matches. Those go by way too quickly, but in a good way. Like, I don't know. I'm blown away that they keep doing this 10 match format. Like, remember before the show started, we were all like, how long is the show going to be? What's the debate? Blah, 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 blah. But it's like, no, this 2 hours is like perfect. It goes by awesome.
So quickly, I think the style that they film in, there's not a lot of filler. I think having no commercials, of course, not only helps with you just have more time to play with, but the helps pacing just flies by on these. And it helps when you start with something like a world title match. I was surprised this went on first. I was delighted to see it, though. Claudio and Willie Mack, just so much fun here. So much fun to get us started. Willie Mack just immediately almost has that thing like Willow does where you're like, I'm just immediately in love with you. Like from the second you step out from behind the curtain, so much fun. Great to see him getting a spotlight here too. I feel like he's kind of been on the cusp for a while. So to see him show up in ROH in a world title match is really, really fun. But ultimately Claudio goes over with the flash uppercut on Willie Mack for the pinfall. Loved the innovative twerking offense that we got. I think Faye Jackson was out there tweeting that was stolen from her. That's some infringement right there. But man, this hit really, really hard. This was laying some stuff in. I really liked this. I don't think every Cesaro match needs a swing, especially as a heel. Like, we can just get down to some good old-fashioned nasty pro wrestling, which is what we got in this opener. And word for me, Reg, what did you think?
Oh, this is beautiful. The finish, Claudio just destroying Willie Mack with that European uppercut just out of nowhere. Claudio has so many things in his arsenal that he could do, so many ways he could finish a match. Ricola bomb, uppercuts, sharpshooter. He could do anything. And just for to know that how the Blackpool Combat Club is doing this heel thing and they're just gritty. And now he's just like, no, I'm just going to throw a really hard uppercut and just destroy this guy. This was a PWG Reseda match for me. This is a match I would see back in the day out there. We're all sweaty. Willie Mack's on his way. Claudio is just like the most incredible pro wrestler when it's like, ring the bell. He could do anything on either side. He's incredible. He's antagonizing Eddie Kingston at every corner. This was perfect way to start the show. And yeah, the same Willie Mack, I've had a relationship and things wanted to interact with this man for a really long time. I think 2010 is the first time I ever saw him wrestle. My friend was wrestling at a place and he was like, you have to see this guy, Willie Mack. He's an incredible pro wrestler. And like, since the first time, it was wrestling love at first sight, like seeing this guy and like, you know, he's a black wrestler. He looks like me, like all the things. And then the bell rings and he's just so charismatic and he's doing these moonsaults and he's doing these big frog splashes and he's twerking and infringing on Faye Jackson's intellectual property. She's not going to be happy about that at all. I want no parts of this. I know she's upset about it, but no, this is great. Great showcase. Claudio is mean and nasty, just like the rest of his homies are right now. Loved it.
Yeah, I don't know. We might end up with another court case with Faye Jackson.
Honestly, yeah.
Really, Mac, but
yeah.
Shout out to ROH TV popping in and saying hi. Hi, back
hey,
to
what's
you.
Up, ROH? That's super cool.
That is super cool. We got a little love on Wednesday podcast. I do the Mark Order podcast, not on Fightful, but AEW popped in there. We appreciate it. We appreciate the hello. So, cool. That's super rad. But yeah, I thought this was fun. It was a really fun opener too. I do feel like the crowd, you could tell it was like pretty dense tapings because they go up and down a lot. But
yeah,
starting with a world title match, you just got to be right back in it, right? Exactly. So some really, really good stuff there. Was very, very happy to see it. And I was not the only one. We got some love from Meet Normus, who very supportive here at Fightful all the time, saying, sup, Kate and Reg. Whoops, my chats are a little weird. I'm loving ROH. Willie Mack looks like my Uncle Danny at the cookout after too much gin.
Straight up.
I've hired Smart Mark to investigate the fake Kate on QTV. Help me in touch. Some people were noticing that there was a blonde gal with bangs, and I'll just tell you, I'm not mad about being compared to her. She's a beautiful gal.
Thinking back about it now, I'm like, wait a second. Wait a second.
She had a feather pen too. I was like, all right.
Okay.
You're right. What's going on here? I loved the QTV stuff. Perfect. I loved it. I'll never admit it to him, but no, I loved it. Really, fun.
No QT slander on my timeline. Big homie really got his off at the end. So yeah, we're on our way.
I know that is correct. Some really, really fun stuff in this next match as well. So get in those super chats and humper chats about it if you would, because I know I want to talk about Dante Martin and Mike Bennett. Holy cow.
Goodness gracious, Kate. These guys really went at it.
I feel like Mike Bennett was viewed as a reliable hand, and he is. But he's so much more than a guy who can give people good matches. This has been a really great showcase of it. Dante Martin wins with a full Nelson slam here. I loved how this match was put together for so many reasons. Some of those corner spots were nuts. But what I loved about this match was I feel like since coming over to AEW and ROH, Mike Bennett has gotten to show how versatile he is. He can work with any opponent and make them look great. And Dante, I feel like we got to see a bit of a different side of here. I feel like we know the insane things he can do, but there was a lot of times in this match where I feel like his strength was showcased, which we don't always get to see a ton. Nobody had like a huge size advantage in this, I don't think. So it was kind of a nice matchup from that regard too. But I felt like these guys tore it down. This is what I love about ROH is you see this work rate on what's kind of just like regular TV or regular streaming. Like, this is a really, really high quality match where both of these guys showed out, man.
This was, like Mike Bennett is like such a tremendous veteran in the way that he like leads matches and the way that he strikes and the way that he pile drives people on the ramps and the way that he structures things and uses his veteran instincts to carry any wrestler to a great match. Dante Martin, his strikes here in this match at points, the point where Mike Bennett was up and he hit him with that enziguri on the top rope. And it was just like, I don't like that move because like too many wrestlers do it. But that one's like one of the best ones I've ever seen, followed up by that DVD into the Rana. Dante Martin hit that double through the legs frog splash from the heavens.
Ridiculous.
Just, oh, my goodness. Just beautiful work from both people here. I love that the Kingdom's bringing out this aggressive streak in Top Flight. Both guys are really angry. They're not just going out there with flips. They're still flips because everybody knows that flips are the best. But there are some angry elements, some more aggressive elements from both members of Top Flight. And so in the end here, the Kingdom tried to get one over, but Top Flight is not taking that. So yeah, I'm liking what's going on here. I'm excited to see where they are at Supercard of Honor. Are they going to go with just a regular one-on-one tag match or two-on-two tag match? Or are they going to be a part of the Reach for the Sky ladder match? So it's interesting developments.
We did kind of see them playing both sides of the fence a little bit, and both trios and the tag division. You mentioned kind of later we saw a nice promo that spoke to the anger that you were talking about. I loved this from Dante. Dante challenges the Kingdom and tells them to either step up or take flight. He's going to light Taven's ass up next week.
That promo was awesome from both of them. They were really just like locked in. They felt comfortable. Like usually we've seen a couple of the Dante promos where we're like, okay, he's like getting comfortable. But no, here in ROH, they're like, yo, we're Top Flight and we're cool and everybody loves us and we'll beat you up. So what do you want?
We've said it a couple times that it just feels like everybody is so comfortable here. And that showed through with Dante as well. And to your point about flips being the best, I do feel like even for people who are anti-flippy do, which I think it's kind of lame to not like a specific style of wrestling. But I do feel like, man, when you can combine it with some of the spots that we saw today with Dante, where it feels so logical and so rooted and intentional, that kind of silences those critics a little bit because everything is still so efficient. None of it feels superfluous or overdone in any way. But this is
it's not just flips for flips. I love flips for flips, but Dante Martin has like matured into like being this wrestler that he knows that if he hits flips at certain points, it's going to get an even bigger pop. So he's like using it in better situations instead of just going out there being amazing. He is still amazing, but it's amazing for a reason now because he's growing up. We love it.
I agree. And I think that's also a symptom of Mike Bennett's veteran experience. Like you said before, like he's just pulling really, really awesome matches out of people. And we saw it with Darby, right? In the main event of Rampage a while back. Totally. Like that was another one where I was just like, man, he's doing some really, really great work. But after this, we did see post-match Matt Taven attacking Dante. After the match, I love Darius's reaction here, too. It just felt very authentic. And
like, that's my brother. What are y'all doing?
Yeah. If someone beat my sister's ass down, that's how I would act. I would, I would be very upset, and I would get in there and help her. So just very organic, very, very easy feeling. Little less formulaic, like we don't always get post-match beatdowns or whatever. So this was kind of nice. This was really good. I couldn't believe this was just a second match on regular television. No, see,
exactly what you're saying. We're getting such high quality matches. Like every week, it's been like three super high quality could be main event matches that are just like on this ROH show to further storylines.
I think that's why it's so easy to watch is you're never like, nothing's ever lagging at all. Mike from Indeed on the Fightful Overbook channel saying Dante Martin is Michelin star Spafu.
Straight up. That's real. 100%. He does things still. And I'm like, how? How do you do that?
It's crazy. And RH saying, you're just missing one letter, RH. You're mm-hmm. right there. I'm watching Bennett Martin
the
right O's now.
O's invisible.
Laying in those strikes. You're yeah. right.
No, like, Dante was really giving it up today.
Yeah, it tells the story of them getting angrier, to your point. I really, mm-hmm. really liked it. So good stuff. And just keep on moving along. It's so refreshing how my rundown is just so match focused. I appreciate mm-hmm. that about this program. Yeah. But we get Metalik and Blake Christian defeating the Trustbusters in another great match. I'm worried these post shows are going to get a little boring because it's just like these matches are so good. Yeah, we're just going to be like,
well, that was awesome. That was great. Good one. That was a great one too. It's like, okay.
Remember that one? That great match? Yeah, that was dope. But
you guys talked about 10 really good matches. Boring.
That's it. Like, there's not a lot of flash here. I don't know what to tell you, but I can talk about ROH all day. Mm-hmm. Metalik winning with the Metalik driver on Slim J for the pinfall. Metalik is so fantastic. He's and cool. I don't know, something with him and Slim J, their chemistry today was just yeah. really good. Like, Slim J really showed out mm-hmm. in this a lot, which is important. Because his gimmick not only feels silly, but can feel certainly a little dated, I would say. but he is who he is. And yeah. but he can go, man. This was super mm-hmm. fun. I think episode 3, we talked about this a little bit last week, still a little predictable because you're establishing mm-hmm. who's going to be profiled a little bit more. Some people are going to be there to kind of take pins. I don't know if that's going to be the case entirely here with the Trustbusters, but like mm-hmm. this feels like, especially from what we see later, Metalik and Blake Christian are going to be pushed pretty heavily, and I couldn't be happier about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked a lot of things that were in this match. Metalik and Blake Christian are a really cool tag team. The end of the finishing stretch of this was really strong. There was a lot of great action going on. The Metalik driver at the end was dope. Slim J plays a really good role here. He has been his entire run here in not only ROH, but in AEW. His veteran role and the way that he is still like he was in 2002, so he still fits that role. But then he's also a totally different wrestler than that at the same time. And him and Arya Daivari are really great tag team. I don't know to your point, they're going to play that. I don't want to say jobber because that's rude, but are they going to play the fall guys role every time that they're in the match? Is it going to, because it felt like that. It's like, okay, they're setting this up to be, you know, they're setting up the Metalik and Christian and eventually AR Fox stuff to being one of those tag teams. So I don't know, but you know, if they're going to be having great matches like this and Slim J is going to be playing this big, strong, I like that part where he just like was doing the short arm clotheslines. I was like, man, Slim J's looking strong out there. And then he hit this like springboard reverse DDT thing that was super cool. I'm like, okay, I like exactly what's going on here. So this match was fun too. Back to back, not another, I can't say a bad word about it. Like, it all was awesome.
Before we move on, I do want to ask you, because the Trustbusters, who are they now? Like, are we going to get to see Sunny Kiss? Oh, no. I want to see Sunny Kiss on my screen.
And I do too.
It doesn't seem like Sunny Kiss is a part of this anymore. And we know that other people have moved on to other things, right? Swerve Stable has been absorbing. So, like, were they just a really short-lived faction? What's going on here? Because Sunny Kiss should be on one of my screens, my computer screen, my TV screen.
I'd like to see Sunny Kiss over here in Ring of Honor. If that's what's going on. Like, if you're not going to use Sunny over here, yo, Sunny will be great over here in Ring of Honor. I don't know what this is. I don't know what. Because, like, isn't Daivari a part of, like, a different squad, too, with Mark Sterling and some other gang or something? Like, he's just, it's too convoluted, it's too mixed up, like, just what's going on here? It's a weird team off rip anyways. But yeah, I think the moral of this story is Sunny Kiss. We need Sunny Kiss somewhere out here. That's it.
100%. I feel like Sunny Kiss should have been a baddie.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we missed the boat on that one a little bit.
We kind of missed the boat.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing Sunny Kiss was on Dark with the Trustbusters on Tuesday, so
this we're is even just more confused.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think some of that has to do with the ambiguity around who's in a tag team, who's in the trios division. I'm thinking that all gets settled a little bit more after Supercard, And I think they're figuring that out in AEW as well. It seems like they're starting to draw those lines a little bit, which I'm excited about.
They are.
So good stuff there. We also get a video package right after this, which just, I love how quick this moves. I like that about Rampage too. Sometimes you get video packages and you're not like, all right, where's the popcorn? We got a video package. It's just like, yeah, it's a minute long.
Yeah.
It's super clean.
Just give me the story. I don't need like the whole thing. Like give it up really quick.
Yeah. Or, and just even just an advancement of the story. Like not every video package has to be a recap. And I really like the use of that, but we got a nice one for Samoa Joe and Mark Briscoe. And we hear from Mark Briscoe reminding us that the TV championship is his destiny at Supercard. His destiny will be fulfilled. Very excited. So that match is official for Supercard of Honor. That card is looking to shape up to be crazy. I'm so excited about it. I should probably ask Sean if we're doing a post show about it. Saying that on camera, so I remind myself to do that later.
I'm gonna be there live too, so yeah.
You Los Angeles. Are.
Oh, I'm very excited about it. So
We'll definitely find a window to talk about it. If that's immediately after or not, because that is going to be a dense
1,000,000%. But this Mark Briscoe promo was super cool. He gets into the Samoa Joe stuff, but he's like, but before that, Smart Mark came and interrupted me when I was trying to get my little promo off. So I'm about to beat up Tony Nese next week, and that's going to be a really cool match. Seeing Mark Briscoe on these shows, like, it's an unfortunate situation always that it had to kind of how we got here, and like knowing that previously this could have possibly not been happening, but being able to see him on a weekly basis on all the programs, being one of my top five favorite tag teams of all time, I love it. So I'm super excited about what's going to go on next week with Tony Nese. And the Samoa Joe match at Supercard of Honor is going to be a fight and a fire and just incredible.
They're going to beat the hell out of each other. You're going to be there live for it.
Yes. Can't wait.
That rules. I'm so happy.
I mean, I had to be there. I'm the reason that it's happening. We all know the story. We don't have to recap it. It's fine.
It's true. I mean, it is. You're the reason it's happening. The media man making CM Punk cry, booing MJF on the way out.
Keep marking my list up. Keep marking my list up.
Moves over there, Reg. I'm happy about it.
Yes.
I'm also happy we get Eddie Kingston versus Jeeves SK. The former VSK, the current Jeeves K. A fantastic talent. He did some good work at Impact under the Learning Tree, a phenomenal talent on the indies for a long time before that as well. Very happy to see him getting a match here. Went the way
this
you would.
This was some shenanigans, definitely, this whole thing. Eddie Kingston was just trying to antagonize Claudio the whole time. Claudio's coming out. Of course he has coffee, because if he's not in the wrestling ring, there's a coffee cup in his hand, so that was probably the most believable part of this whole scene, I think. It's just Claudio out there randomly with a cup of coffee. Because, like, if you see Claudio out somewhere and he's not uppercutting somebody, he's drinking coffee.
He probably could do both. He's got one.
Honestly, I'm surprised he hasn't yet.
To me, that's more impressive than the swing, to be honest. If you can lay in the uppercut to the level he does with a coffee and not spill it on yourself, people don't realize that's where the real skill is.
I don't know how he doesn't have a sponsorship yet for a coffee, but
I know it's happening. It's coming. Everybody's still getting used to being a free independent contractor.
A real life independent contractor. Like,
exactly. Can go out and get my own sponsors. But that is how this ends. Claudio Castagnoli is watching the match at ringside with his coffee. Spilled on him because Eddie Kingston just tosses Jeeves K right where he was seated at ringside. Love Eddie mouthing off here. Hilarious. Love this guy. He's just the most made for Kate wrestler in the world.
Totally.
He came out with blood on his face and a gasoline can in his hand, and it stole my heart. I loved him before that, but you come out looking like a zombie and you're bloodied up Yankee shirt with the gasoline can, I'm in love with you. That's how it ends. But ending with a stretch plum here for the win. Good stuff. This story just keeps advancing. I love this for Eddie. I love him being in a title picture. the way he quit AEW, I thought was like a really fun thing, because he's just so believable in everything he does that you know he's there. He can say the 1099 thing. It's the same holding company.
You're all the same. Tony Khan's back there either way, bro.
Yeah, your tax return says Tony Khan. You know, it's coming from the same guy. But super, super fun stuff here. And I just loved Claudio at ringside. He just looks so damn cool. Yeah. I much prefer the Blackpool Combat Club heel. And we're going to talk about that in the main event a little bit too. But they're just so badass. And they should be cocky with how good they are. Like,
totally.
Is that where you're
believable?
Into?
Yeah, it's believable when it's like Moxley's up there and it's like, damn, he really is a badass in this world. And then Claudio keeps showing like, you guys thought I was this person, but I'm really this person. And we're like, oh shit. And then, yeah, in the main event, we'll really get into what this person is transformed into that I just can't believe. I like that Eddie Kingston is like, okay, I'm just going to piss Claudio off into getting this match. Like, he's not going to accept me as being this honorable person. I'm just going to make him so mad that I'm going to force him into this match. And each week, Claudio keeps being like, oh, I hate this. Because why was he out there if you don't care about him? If you don't care about him, Claudio, why are you sitting in the front row being so invested in his match, huh?
Why you sit out there and you're high fashion and your coffee? I'm with you. I'm with you. Eddie's getting under his skin. Very clever way to tell that story, just to have someone at ringside, but super fun stuff there. Absolutely. Just so in on Eddie Kingston. And speaking of people I am in on, this version of Athena, holy hell. This was Athena versus Hyann in a Proving Ground match. I'm so excited to see Proving Ground matches back, Reg. So if you aren't familiar and someone had commented last week that they appreciate when I slow down and explain certain things to them because they're watching ROH the first time. Mm-hmm. They didn't know about Pure Division and things like that. So a Proving Ground match has a 10-minute time limit. And if the person in it can hang with the champ for that long, meaning not lose, or if they win within that time, they get a title shot. So what I love about Proving Ground matches is it's a really great way to set up a title shot outside the rankings. You can have someone earn that title shot without your champion actually losing. And you can also pull a fun upset here. And it just immediately makes that person feel really important. So you're not pinning your champion for no reason. There's something at stake here if you do decide to have your champion lose. But, buddy, that's not the way this one went.
Yeah, no, Athena's like, yeah, okay, cool, Kate. Don't care about none of that stuff you're just talking right there.
She's like, that's cute. Put whatever stipulations you want on.
I don't care. You can call this match whatever you want. We could put the title on the line. It's not going to matter. I'm going to destroy this person. And Hyann's an incredible talent. She has a lot of great things coming up. Great to see her back here. But this Athena is just angry. I feel like every single match that she has, it's like she's proven a point of her whole career of like, y'all thought I was this. Y'all thought y'all can do this and put me in these positions, but this is who I am. And so every single time that I'm on screen, I'm going to be the best wrestler in the world. And she's in contention to be the best wrestler, not just women's wrestler, but all of wrestling, because she is just locked in right now. And high in this beating you took here, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Dear God, Athena wins with the cross face here, but she actually won this match a little earlier. She won this match at that sunset bomb on the floor. Dear Lord.
I'm sorry.
RIP Hyann's back. I'm so sorry. That looked brutal, but I also just love, it's more than confidence. It's like a vicious confidence.
It's more than confidence. Yeah. Whatever the next level above confidence, that's the level that Athena is at right now.
Yeah. And it's with an anger. It's not like a cool guy thing either. Like it's a really, really fun flavor that I don't think we have a lot of in women's wrestling right now. Like we've seen characters like this before, but right now this feels kind of unique to her.
It does.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Post-match, we, of course, get her slamming Hyann's head into the title.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise, beating up referees. And it feels so, it's not like, I beat her head into the title, or look at me up in this ref's face. Like, it feels so authentic. I feel like sometimes post-match stuff can just feel like a, and then there was a beatdown. This all feels so fluid from her.
Mm-hmm. So everything really does. Fluidity is a great way to describe it, because it feels like this time it won't be a post-match beatdown. And she's like, let me just get my little belt. No, I'm going to get you a post-match beatdown every time. I was just kidding. And then it's like the post-match beatdown is always brutal, and adding on to her character of like, I'm going to beat you up in the match. The match is going to be over before it's over. Then it's going to be over. Then I'm going to beat you up some more. So everybody knows when you're in the ring with me, it's not going to be an easy night.
And it feels like those post-matches are getting more and more vicious as we go on too, which is just fun. Like, that's just
Like, she's like, send me some real competition, you guys. I'm going to keep beating these people up so bad that you just better. I'm going to force you to give me somebody that I don't do this to. It's a great story.
11-0 in Ring of Honor too. Quickly climbing the charts. Later, we see her get interviewed backstage, and she says that Yuka Sakazaki is in Japan because she's afraid of her. Challenges her to a match at SuperCard. This card is super.
It's a SuperCard. It's, yeah, it's a SuperCard. It's real.
There's no joke with that. No joke.
What a great, great name. I mean, that was always a SuperCard was always historically one of the best shows of the year for Ring of Honor, and the one of the most action packed. But what's great about this card over most SuperCard of Honors, because it's been attached to, you know, Mania Weekends for so long that a lot of them were like super cards, which means we're going to bring in people from Japan. We're going to bring in people from Mexico. We're going to bring in all these outsiders because we're in an area with so many outsiders. But this SuperCard of Honor is so Ring of Honor that it's like, they're like, we don't need no outsiders. We're going to get the people that we've been building on this show for the last couple weeks to be the super card, but the matches that they are announcing are super. So it's like, let's go. I'm excited.
No joke. A lot of love for this match too. Shame Monster saying Athena out the gate is in the running for Woman of the Year. I agree. Yep. Mm-hmm. I would expand that to even just say Wrestler of the Year. This is such fun work from her.
1,000%.
Where did that comic go? Man, my StreamYard hating me today. Hating me. There it goes. Mm-hmm. There it goes. But we did get another wonderful chat from Brett Lockman, who said Athena is a supervillain at this point, daring people to stop her, knowing that few can. That's a really great way to put it. I'm just like, try me, man.
Yeah, seriously. She's like, do it. I'm right here. You know where to find me.
It kind of feels like when people didn't hate Ronda Rousey, when she was in UFC and she was on the run that she was, this feels like the pro wrestling version of that a little bit. She was talking a ton of shit because she could, because she was destroying everyone. It was awesome. RH saying Athena is on a level all on her own, and she's owning everyone on every level. I'm so happy to see her climb and grow from when she started to now. I gotta say, like, I try not to do the comparison across the pond thing, especially with, like, talent that have worked in both places. There's so many factors that go into how someone presents you, but watching this tonight, I was like, it is actually comical, sincerely comical, that they were like, funny. You need to wear fishnets.
Yeah, whatever. Like, it's funny at this point when you see her in a match and you're like, oh, this is why you were so angry that they were trying to get you to do all this bullshit, because you were like, no, I know if you guys give me the ball, I'm going to run it all the way in and shove it down your throat and kick it down your throat and shove it down your throat some more. Like, she's shown that's why I'm saying, like, every match, every opportunity, every time she's on camera, she's like, no, I'm Athena. I'm the best in the whole world. I don't care. It's great to see. She's so cool.
She is so cool. It's really refreshing. Mm-hmm. It's really refreshing. Whatever happened to that Jody Threat match, man? Was like the best thing for her. I don't know what it was, but whatever.
I don't know what kind of switch happened. I don't know what she ate that day, how she woke up, what side of the bed she was on that morning, but whatever it was, thank you.
We are here for it, but we have a quick promo. This was a little confusing to me. I don't have a lot of complaints about tonight's show, and I don't even know if this is a complaint. I'm just a little confused, but we get Metalik and Blake Christian, who are interviewed backstage, talking about how happy they are to be in ROH together. Christian said he made a call to AR Fox, and they accept the Trustbusters challenge for next week's show. He says to keep a close eye on the trios match later in the night. So
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer? A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, AR Fox can't just be for rent. I don't want that.
I think he is, though.
It seems like he is. Look, he has shown that you can plug him into just about any situation and he's going to put on a star maker performance, period. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it is because Top Flight is here. Like, in this promotion
and it just
right
and it just kind of happened. Like, they're still, like, in a week, Tony Khan will announce another Dynamite match with, like, AR Fox and Top Flight. So in that case, it does kind of make it weird. Like, well, isn't he their friend? Why is he your guys' friend now? But that's honestly AR Fox's characters. He's everybody's homie. So, like, if you're like, damn, who could we call? Oh, let's call AR Fox. He'll come through. And then AR Fox is like, yeah, I'll definitely come through. And then there you go.
Think you want to go put on an incredible match? All right. Yeah, no, I'm game.
That sounds fun. Let's do it.
No complaints about that. I have no complaints about seeing that trio, I don't think. But it's just a little bit like, that's what I mean about kind of the ambiguity about, are they a trio in AEW and right. Then Top Flight's a tag team here? But I think
I can understand just, that.
Yeah, I think that's just baby steps of kind of identifying who's on what roster and in what capacity, right. Which if that's my biggest complaint, I'll take it. Because that's a really, really easy complaint to solve and kind of a fun one to have, to be honest.
Right.
And then we get something that I didn't even know was, like, on the radar. I hadn't seen this in any of the spoilers. I was so excited to see Silas Young back in action.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah, we get
both these things. This whole angle was really cool.
This was. I like what this set up. I thought this was a fun intro. Silas Young is just one of those guys that you look at him and you're like, I understand who you are entirely. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a moment in time of a type of wrestler. It's not even like the tagline or anything of who he is, but you can just, every ounce of who he is kind of fits exactly what he presents. It's so much fun. He wins with the PG Waja? Mm-hmm. Waha? Mm-hmm. Plunge? He wins with the plunge. Yeah. I'm Marcus Cross with the pinfall here. But he cuts a promo after the match, which I really liked. He kind of makes a case for himself for the next TV champion. Mm-hmm. Really, really liked this. And he's interrupted by Shane Taylor, one of the best themes in wrestling. Mm-hmm. Twitter was blown up about what a banger of a theme it is.
Yep, I liked it a lot.
Shane Taylor says he was the most dominant television champion in ROH history. And he challenges Silas Young next week. Yep. This is the type of stuff I love to see. This isn't for the title. Mm-mm. But this is for the pride that's kind of around it and probably moving up for a contendership of some sort. We'll probably see rankings of some sort come back into play on this. Mm-hmm. I thought this was great. I'm so happy to see Shane Taylor back in ROH. He was doing such cool work before ROH shut down. His, you want to talk about 1 minute backstages that were impactful. When Maria Kanellis was running the women's tournament and Trisha Dora was in it and lost, mm-hmm. she had such a great showcase there, and she came backstage and was just sobbing. And right. you see her with her head in her hands, and Shane Taylor just reaches his hand out and mm-hmm. say, "You're the queen. Your head should never be down. We're going to mm-hmm. show you who Trisha, we're going to show the world who Trisha Dora is." I was in tears, and it took only a minute. I watched it back today and had the same just like goosebumps emotional reaction. And mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, it's so open right now. If he's challenging for the television title, I would guess he's probably on a solo run, but we'll see if STP comes back into play. Some of his guys are elsewhere doing other things, so mm-hmm. that works. But I was just thinking about what an effective promo that was and what an asset Shane Taylor is in that way. Are you as excited about this as I am? I'm happy to see him there.
Yeah, I liked a lot about what went on here in this match with Silas Young. Of course, I always like to see throwbacks to Ring of Honor, and Silas Young is a big throwback to Ring of Honor. He had a Silas Young style match and a Silas Young style promo. Shane Taylor coming back is awesome to see, because he worked so hard along with Jonathan Gresham, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. He worked so hard to get the brand of Ring of Honor over when a lot of people weren't really checking for Ring of Honor. And he carried that Ring of Honor championship, television championship, like he said, with great, you know, he really did it. And so I love to see the both of them squaring off here. And yeah, that theme is pretty fire, honestly. Like, I'm liking that a lot. So wherever they're going here, another thing that I liked about it was the Silas Young saying, "I want to be Ring of Honor television champion." Anybody establishing championships that's not directly in line, I'm always a huge fan of that, because that's how pro wrestling should be. I always say that every world championship should be like the 24/7 title was. Like, people should just be running after it. Like, you should be backstage and people should be like, "Let me get that belt." Like, that's the belt. That's why we're all here. Like, why is everybody just casually being like, "It's great to win a match"? No, I want to be the champ. I want to fight that fool next. Like, I want to see him next week. I'm going to go find him backstage right now. Like, it should be like sought after. So everybody should always be heading towards a championship, not just like, "I'm happy to be here, I'm having a great time." No, you need to tell these people what you want. And Silas Young came out and told us what we want, what he wants.
Especially in these earlier episodes, like especially in the kind of establishing episodes, like make those titles feel important off the mm-hmm. bat. I'm totally with you on that. And I'm just going to remind the good people watching us to stay tuned for the Impact Post Show right after this. We're coming down the home stretch. We got a little bit more to get through here, but more fun stuff going on after this. If you tuned in last week and you didn't get a chance to see Cresta because she was out sick, you get to see Cresta the Star.
She's back.
She's the best. Mm-hmm. Very glad. Just glad she's feeling better, like person to person. But Cresta the Star is a star. Mm-hmm. She's mm-hmm. such a blast. You're just going to fall absolutely in love with her. She's just so contagiously passionate about
Impact. She's cool. Definitely stick around.
Angel will be there. But more importantly, also send in your super chats, send in your Humper Chats to get your question or statement read on air. With Humper Chats too, if you're watching this after, I think especially because this is streaming, we get a lot of views, thankfully. After we're live. If you have questions that you want to send in, yes, thank you for that. We appreciate it. You go to humperchats.com and just mark that as for me and Reg, and we can answer the following week. I know some people were saying like, "Oh, I can't watch it live." But we appreciate you watching whenever you choose to. That's the benefit of a streaming service. And we appreciate you keeping up with us on that. Yeah,
so cool.
Thank you for that. And we move right along. I just love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Oh, we do have a chat here that says, "Welcome back, STP. Shocked not one promotion signed Shane Taylor in 2022. Seeing him back in ROH just feels right. Mm-hmm. Insert him immediately in the world championship picture and hook it right to my veins." Mm-hmm. I do feel like he should get there. I think him versus Eddie Kingston would be a hell of a program if they put Eddie over. My goodness.
Those promos would be crazy.
They really would. They're like so operate from like similar places. I feel like
they do.
Such a blast.
Those blue collar badass boys. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. I think I think Shane Taylor is almost in the Eddie Kingston camp where his best strength is also kind of a, not a weakness, but makes him not need to necessarily be near a title would to make you feel invested. That's how I always felt. But that being said, he was doing great work with the six-man titles before ROH shut down too. Really, really fun stuff. So I'm sure, I hope that he's around to stay for sure.
And I think we'll see the rest of the Shane Taylor promotions here very soon. I think they're just going to try to establish Shane Taylor for a little bit, but I'm sure that they'll be somewhere here behind him.
I think so too. It feels like, especially with the trios division, that's the thing we probably know the least about with ROH. So hopefully we'll get to see that. Hopefully we'll get to see in full force STP.
But I mean, some one match we're going to come up here with talking about later, one of these members that used to be in Shane Taylor's promotions. Let's get to that. I have a lot of thoughts on that match, honestly.
Okay, well, let's get right into the ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Championship match. The Embassy, Brian Cage, Khan, and Toa Leona. With Prince Nana, of course, commentary great again tonight, doing great work putting over Prince Nana for people who might not have seen him before. Versus Dalton Castle and Brendan and Brent Tate, the boys. Shane Monster saying, so Leona murdered a boy with that apron sent on.
That was so brutal.
R.I.P. Brandon Boy. I think it was Brandon.
Your head. I don't know if it was either a good sell or ouch, but yes, brutal.
Quite possibly a little bit of both. Yeah. Quite possibly, but Khan winning here, pinning both the boys at the same time to retain the titles. Loved the storytelling here. I thought the strategy off the bat from the Embassy was like take them out at the head, right? Take out Dalton. And you're kind of working with two guys who are looking for their leader a little bit. I thought that was super, super fun. But you said you have a lot of thoughts here. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, the Embassy and this with this team with Cage and Toa and Khan, I haven't really been 100% on them for most of this. I like all these guys individually. I think that they're very talented. I'm PWG Youngboy, so Brian Cage has been one of my favorites for a long time. And I don't know, I just haven't felt like things have clicked until tonight. This match right here that these guys had was awesome. They were all super brutal. Toa, when he was hitting on the mat and the way that he was, that senton on the apron was so brutal. Khan looked like $1 million. He looked awesome. He looks great. He sells great. He destroys people. The way that they were doing the tag maneuvers together. And Brian Cage is Brian Cage. He's always has something crazy up his sleeve. But the way that they worked tonight to cut off the ring, to have the boys just fighting for their lives the whole time. I love that the boys used they kind of had that thing too of like the Darius Martin thing of like, that's my brother. Like anytime one of their brothers getting destroyed, they're like, no, I got to get in here to help. But the Embassy was just smothering them the entire match, just destroying them. But when Dalton Castle eventually did get that hot tag, he looked great. He was fired up. Those reverse elbows he was hitting looked really good at a lot of points. Dalton Castle, I think I like the stuff with the six man thing. And I think last week we might have predicted that the boys in Dalton Castle were going to take the titles here. But no, the Embassy really destroyed them in this whole match. But I'd like to see Dalton Castle as a singles. I think the fire that he showed here and the fire that he always shows, I think he'd be a great contender for a number of the titles in Ring of Honor. So I'm excited to see what he does here from the future. But the way that the Embassy looked right here was what Prince Nada has been saying. Like, no, these guys are monsters. These guys are dangerous. These guys are the trios champions for a reason. And it showed tonight. I was very impressed.
I think part of why some people haven't been in on the Embassy, other than it's just been kind of elusive, right? Tully was there and back and forth. I think it's kind of three guys that all work very similarly. I think some of the fun with trios is that you get to mention, like I say that about House of Black all the time, like all three of those guys.
Those are three totally different guys.
Yeah. And so this feels a little bit like you're dealing with the same animal three different times. But tonight, when it's this type of wrestler, when it's someone this big and badass, there's ways to do that where that's really, really fun. Tonight was a good showcase of that. I think it just takes a little bit longer to find there. But some people were asking about Brian Cage's contract status a little bit in the chat. FightfulSelect.com had an update a couple weeks ago about that. Nothing new since then, so I'm not trying to get you to go over there to check out anything newer. But you can check out for details. There's been a lot of back and forth about where Brian Cage has been working, how long he's been there. We do know that he's working through Supercard of Honor, at least. But that is all I will mention about that. Because I'm not breaking the paywall. Everybody else might be out there screenshotting. That's not what I'm doing out here.
Not today, you guys. You better give up your $5, you little haters.
That's right. $1.25 a week. Come on, people. Plus, you get great things like, I don't know, Ask Rhapsody behind the paywall.
Boom.
Pay-per-view post shows with me and Alex Polanski.
Boom, 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 boom. There it is.
I don't know, breaking news like every day. Whatever, no big deal. Just go to FightfulSelect.com.
Stop trying to get it for free on the timeline, you little freaks. Right.
Or if you end up getting it for free, don't then also complain about that for some reason. Yeah. That was blows my mind. Like, why would I pay? I'm just getting it for free. And I'm like, what do you get it for free, weirdos? Like, what
why are you in Sean Ross Sapp's comments saying this? How's it
for you then? I don't, man. You gotta calm down out there, people. After this match, we do get a continued beat down, and Blake Christian, AR Fox, and Metalik come out to save Dalton Castle and the boys because they're good guys.
They
chase off the embassy a little bit. Looks like we might be setting up for a little trio program there. Do you think that's like what we get at Supercard?
Yeah, I'm thinking that's where this is leading. We have the match next week with the AR. Blake and Metalik against the Trustbusters, which I think will advance more into. We're getting pretty close to the show, the big show. So yeah, I think that's where we're going with that. And that's another incredible, fast paced, high flying, intense match that's going to be added to this Supercard of Honor Supercard.
I'm so excited for this pay per view. These ROH, even when the promotion was shut down, the pay per views were insane. I'm like, how?
It's pretty rare where they don't have a great paper. Like I can't think of like you could probably count on one hand like the bad ones they've had. So
agreed.
And for another one.
Part of that is the quality of the matches, and also they're just so logically booked. Like that was one thing I really liked about NXT Black and Gold was the same deal of like they kind of had a template and that worked. Like they had a well-oiled machine, and then they let the wrestlers fill in those gaps.
If it ain't broke, why fix it? Let's do it.
That's it.
We got more great wrestlers. All right, put them in. Let's do it. Let's go.
Speaking of great wrestlers, second women's match of the night. Look how easy that is, Reg.
Wow. Who would have thunk it with some time?
Who would have thought I would come out here and be snarky about it even more? What a surprise.
Rare.
We have a hell of a match, though.
This match was tight, Kate. Oh, man, this match was tight.
So this was the best I think Madison Rayne has looked in her time for for a bit. Trisha Dora hitting Madison Rayne with a Lariat Tubman for the win, but a lot of fun spots in this match. I'll let you talk about it first, and then I'll see if there's anything else I want to call out here.
Yeah, this is, to your point, the best that Madison Rayne has looked. She has been just kind of helping out with Sky Blue, I think, for a lot of along the way. And I think people just kind of forgot that, like, no, she's a former Impact champion, Impact Knockouts champion. She really used to be out there, like, going for it. And this match right here, I was even like, damn, Madison, you're really, like, really throwing them thanks today. This is great. Again, Trisha Dora with another incredible performance. Looks like $1 million from the entrance. Just is overly confident in the best way right now as a professional wrestler, knowing that there's nothing that this person across the ring from me can do to stop me, the momentum that I have right now. But Madison Rayne really brought everything that she had to this fight. She was really just throwing forearms, just trying to really knock Trisha Dora out. This was a hard hitting, high intense match. And I was thinking that all the women's matches that we've had in Ring of Honor have been kind of this, like, what the Ring of Honor women's division was created for. Like, the reason that they were like, well, we want to have, like, what's going on the men's side going on the women's side. Well, there for a lot of time it was non-existent, but like, we need to have more women so we can create the same thing with the women. I think every match that they've had, you know, especially that incredible main event last week, has shown that, like, yo, they are bringing exactly what they are here for. And this match right here was awesome. The match earlier in the show was great. It's like, all this stuff is just great women's wrestling, great women's wrestlers. The women's division of ROH is starting to stack up to be one of the best in the world right now. Wow.
I screamed F-word, yeah, at my television when I saw Madison Rayne in the submission that Trish had her in, and then she got out of it, delivered that DDT. I was like, holy crap. Yeah. Like, and the whole ripcord into the suplex sequence, just great pro wrestling here. That's all.
The crucifix bomb. Ooh!
That was, yeah, that went from, like, the ripcord for two to the suplex for two to the crucifix bomb for two. Yeah. I was just like, my goodness.
Yeah, she was going in.
Well, this is just darn fun, because now we're in the middle of the stream and we get to talk about the fact that Stu Grayson has re-signed at AEW.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's fantastic. Wow. Tony Khan put out the tweet.
To Stu. He is, I mean, he really showed that it was a mistake not, you know, re-signing me immediately. On the indies, the things that he was doing in C4 Wrestling, the things that he was doing out in Canada was incredible. I think when he had that tweet about after the match with Evil Uno and Mox, where he put out that tweet where he was like, yo, Mox, like, you were out of line. Like, that's my bro. Like, I'm about to pull up on you. I think that tweet, like, really inspired him. And then the performance he just had, it was like, no, I'm going to get me a contract again, bro. So shout out to Stu Grayson, man. That's incredible, man. He's cool.
I'm so happy to see it. I actually said before ROH was even fully rebooted, I was like, Stu Grayson would in ROH makes so much sense to me.
Ooh-wee.
I don't know if we'll ever see it. That. Like, it seems like he'll probably walk back into that Dark Order picture, but he just feels like the kind of guy, like a Stu Grayson pure match. Sign me the F up.
Damn, the AEW tag division with Stu and Evo back in there. Oh my.
Delicious.
My.
Ooh. And now that we have the Trios division too, they could use a little bit of a replenishment over in that tag division. So that would be really, really fun to see. I've been complaining about the Dark Order feeling a little directionless for a while now. So I'm happy to see it. And I was also happy to see Matt Sydal and Christopher Daniels versus the Outrunners, Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd, who super, super fun. They had a pretty standout appearance on Dark. People were immediately like, who are these guys that just walked in here from 1986? What a blast. And good workers, too. I was really impressed by Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal in this match. I don't know if that's off base, if that was me underestimating, but I felt like they worked really well together. And considering they haven't had a ton of reps of late, I was like, well, they didn't miss a beat. I was very happy to see that. So a really, really strong match here. The Angel's Wings and the Lightning Spiral, if I can talk, for the win. Sydal and Daniels, really great considering it's been 16 years and part-timers.
That's crazy.
And then we got Aussie Open coming out after this. Fletcher talking about how he was 7 years old when Daniels and Sydal were ROH Tag Team Champs.
There's some people that are watching the show that weren't alive when they were Tag Team Champs, and that's just like, what, dude?
That is gross. That is gross.
Seriously.
Oh man. It's like whenever I see, like, I'm a baseball fan, whenever anyone's like, he's getting older, you know, now he's in his mid-30s. I'm like,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't tell me that.
Or even worse when they're like, he's getting older, he's gonna be 26 this year. And you're like, wait, what did you just say? Like,
hold on.
I'm gonna fight you.
Relax.
I'm going to fight you. I like the Outrunners. I think they need ROH needs more all of wrestling always needs more teams like this that are going to be kind of great characters and serious contenders and always like just going to fit a great role. I think they played a great role here. CD and Matt Sydal. I love the point that Caprice made here. He's like, if you're in a tag team with Christopher Daniels, he's trying to win a tag team championships. He's not just in a tag team with anybody for nothing. Like every time he's had a tag team partner, they've won tag team championships. He's one of the best tag team pro wrestlers in the history of wrestling and every company he's ever been in. So he's this is going to be cool. And then they were interrupted at the end here by a pretty tremendous tag team, one of the best tag teams in the whole world, Ozzy. Yeah. So Aussie Open for ROH champions, tag team champions, they are probably my pick right now next to Top Flight. If we're talking about that, because they are on fire.
They absolutely are. I loved him being like, yeah, you were champion when I was 7. It's 2023 and now we're the best in the world. Yes. It's just really great and effective. And I loved, they really played into the crowd reactions here. You mentioned Caprice. It wouldn't be a Thursday night if we weren't putting Caprice and Ian over. My God.
How incredible were they the whole time?
it you don't realize how much it adds until you have bad announcers. Mm-hmm. And then you don't realize how much it adds even more until you hear great announcers. Like the gap between a good announcer and a great announcer is so wide. Mm-hmm. And right here, like even in the match between Athena and High End, like he had said something about like, see, that's a rookie mistake. A veteran like Athena is going to recover quicker. And she's taking too long to get to the top. Like all those little things just bring the story together so, so well.
They are perfect with those little bridges like that. Both of those guys always have little nuggets that like, you're like, damn, that's just like a great thing to add to the match that nobody else would really think about. But they're just such a tremendous duo that they have to be on TV forever. They're incredible.
They really are.
In 30 years, I want to be like, damn, they're still going at it. These are guys are incredible.
And they're great on their own, but that when they're locked in as a duo, just nobody better.
Can't be beat.
Chris Mueller saying, can we take a moment to appreciate how great the wrestling names Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd are?
Yeah.
Yuta versus Connor's roles. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And Athena is a badass. Agreed with all of that. Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd, like truly just picture perfect. It's not
throwback
like
gimmicks can sometimes be like, eh, but these guys really are doing it right. They know exactly how to do this thing with the colors, the entrance. They're just posing just like 80s wrestlers would. I love it.
They're not going out there to be cheesy. They're letting the cheese just be there. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, look at how cheesy we are. They're just like, this is just what we are. And it happens to be very fun and from the 80s.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. So we move along to a hell of a main event. And I got to tell you, pure matches are maybe my favorite matches. And when you have a heel that abides by the rules, but also still cheats, this is some of my favorite work Wheeler Yuta's ever done, man. Like, this is so good from him. He feels so much more natural as a heel. He feels so perfectly matched with the pure division. I don't think of Clark Connors as a pure wrestler. I didn't think of Mike Bennett as a pure wrestler. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys I don't view as pure wrestlers that when put in a pure match, it brings this whole other side of them out that you didn't really know. It gets them back to the most fundamental version of being a pro wrestler that you can. The way that they use the rope breaks, the way that they use those punch, the one closed fist punch that you get, just to perfection and a hell of a main event here. What a blast. Wheeler, of course, winning, and we're going to talk about what happens at the end here, but I want to give you a minute to talk about the match, because they gave this a decent amount of time, too. I thought this was an absolute blast.
Wheeler Yuta, oh my God, I don't know. I think that's probably one of the best wrestling stories being told right now, of like, initially, when Wheeler Yuta joined the Blackpool Combat Club, I wanted it to be Daniel Garcia. That was the homie. I was like, this should have been Daniel. A lot of people saw it. A lot of people said it. But still then it still should do. Totally. forever. No, I mean, salsa on the apron, Daniel Garcia. I don't know. It's pretty good. But yeah, initially it was like, Will or Udo? I don't know. But since he's been with these people and the story that they're telling of like, no, I'm a part of the best squad. I have the best teachers, the teachers that'll rip your head off. There's Claudio, there's Moxley, there's Danielson somewhere in the woods and the forest there. But the way that they've turned him into that and the champion that he's become as the pure champion, the things that he was doing in this match, the heelish, dickish ways of just manipulating Clark Connors throughout this match, trying to manipulate the ref into doing slimy things, the way that he used his closed fist on on Clark Connors, where he's like, oh, I got one ref. All right, here it goes. Watch this whole thing. He's just a slimy, dickish heel that has been elevated 25 steps up being a part of the Blackpool Combat Club. I don't know if there's a real, is there a real Blackpool Combat Club where these guys go to train together? Because if it is, we need to see it. And we need, I mean, have they shown videos, but like, is it real? Because it feels like he's really learned something from the best wrestlers in the world and applied it to who he is. This is one of the craziest runs and the craziest transformations I've seen in a wrestler in a long time. Will or Yuta is like, no, for reals, I'm a bad motherfucker. I will break your leg right now. I'll punch you in the mouth. I'm the best champion in the world. And then what he did, I was like legit left with my jaw open of like the challenge he made. Cause it's like, I don't think you could do that. Can you do that? Can he do that, Kate? He could do that?
I don't think it goes that way. We do have a chat that was saying exactly what you did for Lockman, saying it. Yuta has become a mood, laughed so hard at, I still have one, right? And then boom. Yeah. Happy wrestling, you two. Happy wrestling to you two.
Thank you.
I love a heel that goes into a pure match. And his whole thing is, how can I toe the line with the rules here?
Right.
Instead of like the baby face should look at the rules and say, okay, I'm going to operate within them. Yuta uses them as a, okay, I'm going to break the rules in these specific places. It's such great tactical stuff. And it makes them so much more interesting when those rules come into play in the psychology of a match. Absolute blast. Couldn't agree more with you. Blackpool Combat Club as heel for me. Will or Yuta especially felt like he looked kind of cheesy in them babyface promos.
He did.
Not great. Mm-hmm. I like this from him. It feels authentic. It feels right. And then what happens next? We're going to talk about it in a second. But before we talk about what happens next there, we're going to talk about what happens next here. We're going to pass this show right off to Cresta Starr, who, man, she's been in our little backstage for a little bit. You guys are going to want to see her fit. Okay. You guys are going to want to see the look that she's bringing to the table.
Yes.
And then Joel's going to be here too. But
Joel's here too.
It's Taya's last match in Impact, it looks like. So you're going to want to stay tuned to hear them talk about that. But we're going to talk about this real quick. Wheeler Yuta says he's done with the students of these dojos. He's calling out the teacher. He's calling out Shibata.
What?
Holy effing S. Red.
What do you mean? I was like, no, you can't. I don't think you could do that. You can't call out Shibata. I don't think that's how this works. But no, he did it.
He right sure in the middle did. Of the And Claudio came down and was like, seal of approval, young man.
He's like, great job. 100%. Son, you did a great job. Yes, exactly. What? Exactly as we talked about back there.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to tell you to walk around with a coffee next week. It's going to be great.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is great. And is this match going to be at Supercard of Honor, Kate? Like,
I would imagine, because it's in California, right? And the LA Dojo's right there.
Oh.
That's what I'm thinking. Wow. Holy crap. You are going to see a loaded card. I am jealous.
That's crazy.
Jealous.
That's crazy.
One more super chat before we get out of here and hand this over to Cresta and Joel to talk about everything going on with Impact. We got Brandon Joseph saying, given the possible matches for Supercard, how many titles do we see changing hands to set the base for the new era of ROH? Well, we have to establish tag champs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the one. I don't see Yuta losing the belt to Shibata if they do that. Athena, I don't think she should lose the belt either. I do see Eddie Kingston, though, becoming the new Ring of Honor world champion. Like, if anything, the main one, I think Kingston is our next Ring of Honor world champion. So That's important.
Yeah, and as far as the six man goes, I don't know because we don't really know what Brian Cage's status is. But if they're setting this other trio up, they're not. It doesn't seem like they're a real trio. It seems like
they're just kind of put together. They're not like an established trio. So
they were like Air Fox. Let's hang out. So I'm going to guess retain as of right now. That's assuming that what we think is getting set up is going to be the card as well. But I do think Eddie Kingston's going to win. I will probably cry like a baby at it. I will be so happy. I think Athena retains. If you asked me 6 months ago, I would have said, well, it was going to be Athena, but she's doing so much on the main right now.
No, let Athena keep that belt. She's great.
She's doing such great work. Such great work. And she's facing Yuka, right? So she's not even facing Willow. So she's definitely retraining. Mm-hmm. But I think that's good. I think a first pay-per-view out of the gate like that, you kind of want that establishment.
Yep, totally.
So we are going to go ahead and hand this off to Cresta. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take our little overlay off. I'm going to add... I feel like I should add Joel first because I feel like Cresta needs like a big reveal.
I honestly think that's the right choice.
I think it is too. Joel, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. We just watched a really cool wrestling show. How was the Impact show? Impact.
I tell y'all, it's completely different from Ring of Honor, but it's like the best way possible. And I think that's one thing that's cool about this post show is you guys get to talk about like real graps, like the pure stuff. And then we get to tune in and talk about Johnny Swinger for 2 hours. Which I love. I do love it.
And what's the old dude's name? Mike Jackson? Was he on the show tonight?
Not tonight. maybe he'll show up in Multiverse of Matches and have a big old banger with Ricky Choshu. I don't know.
Yeah, seriously.
My God. Well, we got to bring on the star of the show.
Zoom in my camera. You see the lies behind me.
Look at this. I'm not kidding. I was like, I don't remember where it is in the show, but there was a point where I was like, I laughed as I was talking because I saw Cresta drying her mustache glue.
I was making sure it stayed down, and I wasn't going to do this, but we can all blame Joel Pearl because he called me a coward in the DMs. Wow. And mama ain't raised no bitch. So now you guys got the Fu Manchu going on. I put beads in it just for you guys.
You put beads in it? I don't know what I love more that like you had it just sitting around, like that it was just available to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or that you were like, not only am I coming in with a little mustache, I'm coming in with the full Manchu, like the mustachiest mustache with accessories on short notice.
Very dope.
First of all, I had to impress UK and Reg. It's my first time working with you guys. I have to impress y'all. I'm not hecking around. not the full screen, the lies.
There it is.
Now my mustache coming off. I'm laughing too much. Hold on.
You got to be serious for the whole Impact show. So your mustache.
Oh, yeah.
It's an extremely serious wrestling program.
This is a serious wrestling program brought to you by Sean Rossat.
Real quick, Kate and Reg, one thing from ROH that like stood out to y'all this week. Let's get that out there.
Ooh, Reg, you go first.
The one thing that stood out for me this week was honestly probably the embassy, like I was saying, like because for a while I wasn't super into their whole six man or the whole trios thing, but tonight they really showed fire. They put all those monsters together, and those monsters tried to rip Dalton Castle and the boys apart. So yeah, the embassy.
Wheeler Yuta called out freaking Shibata. So I'm gonna go with that.
Yes.
Sneaky cool things though. Madison Rain, this was her best match since she's come over to the AEW ROH brands.
Really
this
was
really, really fun. Trish Storr doing great work, but we're gonna have a lot of fun doing this handover
Yes. We appreciate y'all.
She comes on and she's like, I gotta impress. It is like unbelievably impressive human being with or very without impressive. A mustache. Mm-hmm. But like, thank you. My God.
I can't laugh. I literally can't laugh.
No laughs.
Nothing's funny about what's funny about wrestling. This is serious business.
It's very serious.
Yeah. Damn it.
Mm-hmm. My God. She might be turning heel. She's got the beginning of it.
Let me
corporate
tell you.
Cresta.
Yikes.
All right. Well, Reg and I are going to get out of here. Stay tuned to hear all about, I can't believe you guys are going to be talking about Taya's last match, and she's debuting at a Rampage, it sounds like. So have a blast.
Before you get out of here, I just want to say this. This is the second time that Tony Khan has done this to Impact Talent.
Yo, I'm tired of him spoiling it for me.
Oh,
he's done this twice in Canada. He did it with Taya last night, and he did it last when they were in Toronto. He did it with the Kingdom, brought them out on Rampage.
Yeah.
did you just kick them? Wow. No,
they took themselves out. They took themselves out. Yeah.
I have to zoom out because the lies.
That is so funny. Cresta, how are you?
I am well. I've missed you guys. I was so sick last week, and then as soon as I recovered, my cat got sick. I don't know what happened, but I am back through the power of necromancy, the specter of Bob Backlund, and the spirit of the mustache.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.